Can I take you this morning to Luke just for a devotional? Devotional. I promise it will not be long, but I do want to say some things in Luke. Luke 7. I just want to say some more things to you about John the Baptist. We've been talking about him in Luke 7 since verse 18. Important person in the Bible, very important person in the Bible. Jesus said, did you go out to see a reed? Did you go out to see one of those blades of grass that just get blown around? No, that's not John. He didn't get blown around by nothing. He stood firm. Did you go out to see somebody dressed in royal robes? No, that's for people in palaces, Jesus says in Luke 7. He says, but John was dressed, he was dressed like a prophet. He had animal skins. He ate locusts and honey. He was different. You went out there because you knew there was a prophet out there in that wilderness. You knew there was one out there who spoke for God out in that wilderness. And that's what drew the masses of humanity, of Jewish society. They all went out into the wilderness, traveled miles to go see him and to hear him because there was a prophet out there. See, God had not had a prophet for 400 years. And all of a sudden, someone appears on the scene. And they're speaking words of God. They're claiming to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 40 of Isaiah, a voice crying in the wilderness. They went out there because Malachi had talked about a forerunner who would come before the Messiah. And this man is out there talking about a Messiah. So they're pulled into the wilderness to go listen to John the Baptist. He's a prophet. He's more than a prophet, Jesus told us in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 20 through 30. He told us he's more than a prophet. You see, most prophets were not prophesied about. John was prophesied about. And he's more than a prophet because he not only talked about the Messiah coming, he got to see the Messiah. He's more than a prophet. He got to experience something most prophets never experience. For them, it was just a hope out there. For John, it was a reality. John, for most, it was just walking by faith. For John, it was by sight. He saw the very Messiah he prophesied about. John was more than a prophet. And that's the reason in verse 28, he says, of those born among women, there is none greater than John. He's great because, not because he had a great character, of course he did, but a lot of prophets had great character. He was great because of his role of prophesying about the Messiah, being the forerunner of the Messiah, seeing the Messiah, the fulfillment of that. John was great because of his role that he had. And yet he who is least in the kingdom of God, verse 28 says, is greater than he. I believe that's a reference to us and the role we have now, for we see more than John saw. John spoke in shadows. We see realities. John was an Old Testament prophet. There was much to be revealed in Christ and the New Testament that John did not see. When it says greatest, it's referring to our position. The position we're in now in seeing all of these, not shadows, but realities, the Messiah, the crucifixion, the resurrection. So when you think of the word greatest, think of in terms of the role, the position that we're in versus John. Let me just show you something in the book of John. Turn over to the book of John. I just want to take you through a few things that John says, and then we will close. He was a prophet who came to work himself out of a job. You know that? You've heard that term? Work yourself out of a job. He was a prophet who came with that purpose. There's one coming greater than I. You'll see that in just a moment. He didn't come for the attention to be on him. He came for the attention to be on Christ. He was Christ-centered in his ministry. If God gives you an opportunity to have any kind of ministry to anyone, you make sure it's Christ-centered. All ministry should be Christ-centered. Look at how John's ministry was Christ-centered. Notice in John 1:15, John chapter 1, verse 15. John testified about him. John spoke about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I.'" Notice, "for he existed before me." See that? "John, I thought you were 6 months older than Jesus." Luke 1 tells us, doesn't it? The pre-existence of Christ. Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end." Jesus, folks, as we saw when we looked at Luke chapter 1, he did not begin at Bethlehem. He is the eternal God. Remember what he said to the Pharisees? "I am. I was before Abraham. You're just 50 years old. I am. I have always existed." The pre-existence of Christ. John affirms that. John affirms that Jesus existed before the foundation of the world. Look in verse 29 and 30 of John 1. "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.'" And then he says, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is higher ranked than I, for he existed before me.'" See it? That is the eternal existence of Christ. John says it twice there. Pre-existence of Christ. He is the Lamb of God. He is God's sacrifice. He is not like the sacrifices that take place in the temple that just cover sin. He is the Lamb of God that takes away sin, takes it away. See, if you took a sacrifice to the temple, you had to keep bringing them back year after year. But this sacrifice is once and for all sacrifice. It's not man's sacrifice bringing a lamb. This is the lamb that God gave. The lamb that God gave to be sacrificed. The cross is a sacrifice. The cross is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God being sacrificed. Folks, our faith is in a sacrifice. Our faith is in a sacrifice that God made to God. He is the Lamb of God. God saved me from God in Christ. God saved me from God's judgment in Christ. Christ is about God, God's work. Look at verse 34 of John chapter 1. "I myself have seen and have testified that he is," notice, "the Son of God." He is God. To say you're the Son of God is to say you're of the exact nature of God. You're of the exact nature as God. He is the God-man. He is Son of God, Son of man. God-man. See, John had limited information, but he knew who Jesus was. He gets it right. That's who Christ is. His ministry is focused on this Christ and teaching about this Christ. You don't have to go to seminary to know this. This is the character. This is the work of Christ. He is the pre-existent Son of God, Lamb of God. That's the person and the work of Christ. This is where the cults get it wrong. They don't declare who he is right, and they don't declare what he did right. They will tell you he is a man, he is an angel, but they will not tell you he is God. And his cross, his death on the cross, is not sufficient to take away your sin. See, John's greatness, the greatest man that ever lived, is the role he had in the things he got to say about Christ as the forerunner of Christ. Look at verse 19 of John chapter 1. This is the testimony of John. Verse 19 of John chapter 1. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask of him, "Who are you? Who are you, John? Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They said, then are you Elijah? And by the way, that is a legitimate question because Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, says Elijah will come. Be here next week for that explanation. John says he's not Elijah. Malachi 4:1 says Elijah must come. What's the deal? Talk about that next week. But notice what he says. He says, I am not. I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Then they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 40. Make straight the way of the Lord. He doesn't say, I'm really somebody. I got a following. I got a great crowd around me. No, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm a nameless voice. My name doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I am. Flip over to John chapter 3, verse 22. John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things, verse 22, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came. Okay, Jesus is now with his disciples. They come into the land of Judea, and they're there he was spending some time with them and baptizing. This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples, and notice they are baptizing. John also was baptizing. In Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. That is really a good proof text for water baptism, by the way, immersion. Anyway, secondary thought, but move on. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Therefore, there arose a discussion on the part of John's disciples. John's disciples have a question about what's going on. Jesus and his disciples are doing what John is doing. They are baptizing. He's having this discussion. We see it in verse 26. And they came to John and said, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, the one that you testified about, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. You're the one that started this, John. Why are they all now going to him? Why is he imitating your ministry? Why is he doing what you're doing, and you're the one that started it all? And now the crowds are going with him. To which John answers and says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. See that? Unless God gives it to you. What I have, God has given to me. I didn't produce it myself. What God has given to him, God is from heaven, it's from God. You yourselves are my witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. I was not sent as the Christ. I am not the Christ. I'm not in a popularity contest with Jesus. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. See that? But the friend of the bridegroom, one of the attendants, one of the men in the bridal party, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, I must decrease. My role is to work myself out of a job, guys. I came to point to Jesus. My ministry is about pointing to Jesus. My ministry is about making much of Jesus. John's greatness is not seen in the fact that he wanted to glorify himself or to exalt himself or to gain popularity for himself. His greatness is found in the fact that, yes, he is least. The humility of John. See, truly great people don't want you, truly great people don't tell you how great they are. They don't even see it. In fact, they blush if you tell them that. All they see is their sin. They see their unworthiness. They're not self-promoting. They point to Christ. And that's the reason God used John so mightily. And that's the reason you see at the end of verses 29 and verse 30 of Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 29 and 30, I close with this. Luke 7, 29 and 30. You had two responses to John. Like I said last week, you always have two responses to the gospel. John's message of repent, John's message of judgment is coming, John's message of escape the wrath of God to come, repent and believe, be baptized, show fruits of repentance. There were some who believed that message and some who did not believe that message. Verse 29, when all the people and tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice. They recognized God. You know what the cross is? The cross is an expression of the justice of God. Sin, the wages of sin is death. And God is a holy God. If God does not judge sin, he is not a holy God. The cross is a picture of the holiness of God and the justice of God. The cross is a picture of God's mercy in that he died for us. He died in our place. Christ died in our place. And he died because God demanded a payment for sin. And he sent Christ as the Lamb, the second person of the Trinity, God in human flesh, to die on the cross to satisfy the justice of God. The people recognize the justice of God. God has every right to condemn me and send me to hell for my sin, but God has shown mercy to me in the Messiah, in Christ. And folks, that's how you become a Christian. Faith in what God has done on the cross. That sacrifice on the cross, that justice of God demonstrated at the cross. Are you in that category this morning, verse 29? Are you in the next category, like the religious leaders who think, I have nothing wrong with me. I don't need to repent. I don't need to seek forgiveness, as I've heard one presidential candidate say. I don't need those things. Which category are you in this morning? If you want to know Christ, you just cry out to him for forgiveness. Cry out to him to save you. Cry out to him to break through your stubborn and sinful heart to cause you to believe and trust him. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we've had this morning. I pray, God, that you would use all that has been said in our time, both in our discussion of the presidential election and in our time in the book of Luke. May you be glorified, Father, in all that we have done today, and I praise you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.